It's Paddy's big Cheltenham offer. We're giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on every single race on day one of Cheltenham. Terms and conditions apply. 18plus.begambleaware.org.
So, hello and welcome to this Cheltenham Racing Postcast. I'm Maddie Plell, joined by Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Tom Nugent from Paddy Power. Gents, great to be here. 24 hours time. We won't be far away from the first race of what's sure to be a magnificent festival. First off, the weather isn't predicted to be quite this beautiful in 24 hours. Time. What are we making of the ground so far? There's used to be a lot of rain, Keels.
I'm very, very surprised at how good it is. It actually feels nearer good than good. The software is standard at the moment. It's not going to be like that tomorrow, though, if the weather forecast is correct, because it's supposed to rain all day, so I'd imagine it'll get quite tested.
Yeah, so definitely that's to bear in mind when you're picking out your selections, DJ, and also high winds forecast for Wednesday.
Yeah, it's the calm. It'll be said many a time, it's the calm before the storm. Bit of a false sense of security today. Sunshine out. It's a bit like if Britain win the Supreme Novice Hurdle. It'll give you a false sense of security, because we're going to win the Prestbury Cup.
I'll just take the mic away, shall I?
And, who cares about the Prestbury Cup?
Hey, you're not supposed to say that. And Tom, how are things? All good?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, looking forward to a good week ahead and delighted to be in such esteemed company as the three big names from the Racing Post.
Oh, you flatter us, right? We better get cracking then. The first race is at 1:30, the Skybret Supreme Novices Hurdle. It's a bit of a muddling one, isn't it, DJ? We were just chatting beforehand and saying that so many different people fancy so many different horses.
Yeah, it's absolutely the most competitive Supreme I can remember. Last 5 years, Willie Mullins has had the favourite with Ruby on board. It's likely to be the same this year, because I could actually see Classical Dream going off favourite.
Is that just because the Mullins and Walsh factor?
I think there's a couple of different factors. I backed Mr. Fisher at double figures, and he's still double figures. He's the one horse I thought since Stephen's Day, Boxing Day as it is here, he's the one horse that I thought has been overpriced all the way along, because I thought beating Thomas Darby, Rouge Viff is rated 142, I thought that was really solid form, and then he won the Supreme Trial that Cinders and Ashes and Peddler's Cross won at Haydock quite impressively. He to me is the horse that might end up being the best of the whole lot of these, but maybe it's just a year too soon for him. I think he's a very good horse. Classical Dream, I was devastated when he was entered for this race, because I was a Mr. Fisher fan and he was the one horse I didn't want to come in here. Like, he's got so much experience in France, he loves soft ground, he jumps well, he's a grade one winner, it's Willie and Ruby, he ticks so many boxes. To me, Classical Dream at the moment is probably the most likely winner, but I've been a Mr. Fisher fan since December 26th, so I'll have to stick with him.
Yeah, a lot of people have the opinion that Nicky Henderson, he uses this race almost as a bit of a trial. Obviously, Altior won it for him, but some great horses, Sprinter Sacra, beaten in it. So it'd be interesting to see. He's got Angel's Breath as well, of course. Tom, just give us an update on the betting.
Yeah, we're 9-2, the top two, Al Dancer and Angel's Breath. Classical Dream has shortened up a lot with Ruby jocked up 5-1 now. Fakir Duderi is 11-2, 8-1, and bigger the rest. We are very exposed to Angel's Breath, and we've kind of held that position, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was to go our favourite if the money continues to come the way it has done over the last few days.
Okay, so a few contrasting opinions there. Keels, is this a race you look at and think, well, you might as well have a go at something at a bit of a bigger price?
Well, I mean, I've had a go at a few already. I mean, I backed Al Dancer a while ago. I personally think he's the most likely winner. I wouldn't worry about
what do you make of the hood coming up?
I wouldn't worry about the hood not being on because they're putting earplugs on, so you know, and they don't have to declare them, and I think that just caught everybody on the hop. They thought it had made a mistake, but they've obviously made that decision. I don't think any winner of the race has ever won in any head. Yeah, so maybe that was part of their thinking. But I think, you know, if he settles, he's won round here before, I think he's got a great chance. But it is wide open, and you've got bookmakers daily are pushing the boat out with some ridiculous each way terms, and it just, you know, it tempts somebody like me to have a go at something at a massive price. And I landed on 50-1 shot, Brandon Castle, getting the extra places. Okay, 3 from 3, all he's done is win at Plumpton, but he bolted up off a mark of 130 last time, and he won a heavy ground, 100 grand heavy ground handicap on the flat last spring off a mark of 95, so he's got the raw talent to be in the first 5 or 6, I think, and I certainly don't think he's around about a 10-1 shot to get in them, get amongst them, you know. So that's my rag of the week, as it were. And you know, I've backed Grand Sonsi and all, and I'll be messing around with trifectas and exactas. This is the most open Supreme Novice Hurdle we've had for a long, long while. It's the most open Tuesday we've had for a long, long while. We've only got one really short price favourite, so it makes you realise I had a toss up of all my anti-post gambling, and it was made quite frightening reading, really. And I looked at all the fields and I suddenly thought, well, hang on a minute, I could drop the lot here, really, and it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. So fingers crossed that won't happen.
Yeah, fingers crossed that won't happen indeed. DJ, just if you haven't mentioned, Fakir Dudairi, bound to be popular, but 4-year olds don't have a particularly strong record in this race. He was impressive at the track, though, before, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, and he jumped terrifically well. I think it's the right thing by Joseph to run Sir Eric in the Triumph and run Fakir Dudairi here. He's short enough, though. I'd be surprised if he won, to be honest with you. Vision Donair definitely has a chance. He's unexposed. They love him and Gordon's. And the ground, I did a Q&A with Gordon for the Racing Post, the Ask Gordon feature, and he was asked, one of the questions was, if the ground did turn up soft, this is a week and a half ago, if the ground did turn up soft, which horse of his would it suit the most? And he chose Vision Donair. So that's interesting. I think he's a horse with a big, big future. And at a big price, I could see him sneaking into the places. As for your rag, it can stay rag. It's got no chance.
Okay. Just before we move on, one more. Elixir de Nuts, he's bound to be popular with the rain forecast. Last year's Tolworth winner, Somerville Boy, came on to win this. What chance should you give him?
Yeah, it's funny. When I saw the Tolworth hurdle, you know, on the day, I thought it was probably one of the weakest Tolworth hurdles I've ever seen. But then Southfield Stone's come out and beat Angel's Breath, and Grand Sonsi's come out and won the Kingwell. The form's suddenly looking pretty good. But dominating a field of 18 runners, you're going to have some pace pressure up front as well, obviously with Brandon Castle. That would worry me just at the price.
Okay, we'll move on to the 210, which is the Racing Post Arkle Challenge Trophy Novices Chase. Now, you talk about pace pressure. There could be a lot of pace pressure in this race. Glenn Forster, Knock the Noose, lots of other horses who like to go forward in this. Tom, we'll go over to you first just for a betting check.
Yeah, Glenn Forster is our 7-2 favourite and Lawler's 4-1 next in. Hardline has been very, very well back in our non-runner, no-bet market. He's a 5-1 third favourite at the moment and at 7-1 in bigger rest.
Thanks. And Keels, you're pretty sweet on Glenn Forster.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I'm massively sweet on Glenn Forster. I don't know what people are talking about when they're saying, you know, we might get taken on for the lead and that. People don't seem to remember that he didn't make the running when he won over 3 mile, and he didn't make the running when he won over 2.5. The only reason he made the running at Sandown because there were only 3 runners and he was the best jumper in the field. It's as simple as that. I'd be surprised if he does anything other than lay for 4th or 5th, something like that. Obviously, you got the front runners, all newer, and Knock the Noose. I mean, you know, both of those like to go from the front, and they'll probably
Blondel
go
Castle
hard.
Could as well.
Yeah, exactly. Articulum has gone from the front as well, I think, isn't it? So there's plenty in there that can go on, and I think that's why the money has come for Hardline, because we all know that Davy Russell has got balls of steel, and he'll be sitting right out the back and letting them get on with it and coming through. And Gordon Elliott seemed to think he's got a big chance. He was talking his chances up at a preview night at the Emirates the other day. So he's definitely one to fear. But I just think Glenn Forster's jumping is fantastic, and I think jumping is going to win this race because it's a really, really competitive field. And I think if he jumps as fluently as he did at Sandown, it'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I'm a big Clem Forster fan. DJ, could the sort of pace setup play into the strengths of one like Lawler or Hardline?
Yeah, I actually did a preview with Gordon Sunday 2 weeks ago, and Hardline was 33-1 for this race. And I asked him about Hardline. He says, yeah, he's got an each-way chance. He'll definitely run the race. Little did I know, 2 weeks later, he'd be 6-1. Like, I think he's probably too short at the moment. For once, Paul, we're in the same camp. Hopefully it's our current team this week. I'm a Glenn Forster fan. There's people saying he can't win because he's won over 2.7 around Chepstow, that he started the season off a mark of 114, but horses can improve. Look at Clan de Zobo, who was nearly favoured for the Gold Cup. He's had a terrific season. I think he is the best jumper in the race, and he's got that solid handicap form. The time he did at Kempton over Christmas, like, it looked a really good performance, and the clock backed that up. Jumped brilliantly over the railway fence at Sandown. He's the most likely winner to me. The one I will back as well is Kalashnikov, because I do think if you take out that right-handed form out of the equation and you look back to last year's Supreme and how well he travelled, given the pace that's likely to be on here, people are saying he will be taken out of his comfort zone. But I think if he gets into a rhythm early, like, he should have won the Supreme last year. I know Somerville Boy made some terrible mistakes, but he, halfway up the run, and he had the race won. And at double figure prices, Kalashnikov, I think, shouldn't be overlooked. So I'll have a saver on Kalashnikov, but Glenn Forster would be my first pick.
Okay, and Tom, you're going to make it 4 votes for Glenn Forster?
Not necessarily, no. I wouldn't be as convinced about the top of the market just at the moment. They're short, so short enough at 7-2. You're getting money back second, third and fourth in every race of day one with Powers as well. And if you're having an each way bet in the race, I thought Ornuo was a standout at 12-1, second behind Dynamite Dollars and Sandown the last end. If you're looking for a man to train a 2-mile chaser, Henry de Bramhead wouldn't be far away from the perfect pick.
Indeed, and Keels, you had a really good payday in the Ultima last year. We'll go on to that now at 250. Give Me a Copper. He's been very popular anti-post for a lot of people. I don't think Paul Nicholls has ever won this race. Tom, just roll us through them.
Yeah, five places here with Powers. Give Me a Copper has been the talking horse of the Cheltenham Preview Night Circuit. He's 11-2 favourite now. Manella Rocco next in at 8, alongside Mr. Whittaker, who's been very popular with us. Up for review next in at 9s and 10-1 in bigger rest.
Yeah, personally, big Mr. Whittaker fan. I'm hoping for a Mick Shannon double. Where does your money go?
I'm a Mr. Whittaker fan as well, and a Kustar Sivla fan. Kustar Sivla won it last year, and a Give Me a Copper fan. I mean, I think that might be my exactas and trifecta. Obviously, value is now gone with Give Me a Copper. Paul Nicholls has been talking it up. I spoke to him just before he ran at Sandown, and he said, I haven't been able to do very much with him at all, and he's going to come on a ton. That's why he drifted from 7s to 14s that day. But if you saw the way he jumped for a horse with so little experience, he was unbelievably good. But yes, he doesn't have a very good record in this race at all. He's had plenty of well-fancied horses, well-beaten. The only thing is, he's absolutely flying at the moment. He just seems to win every big race every week, doesn't he? You know, so he's got to be a player, but too short for me now. Kustar Sivla is only £3 higher than when winning last year, and the ground looks like it's come right again. You can ignore the early season form because he's never run that well early in the season, and his mark has come down, and they've left him fresh. Nick Williams is in cracking form. I just think he has to go well. And, he'll be the selection. I do fear Mr. Whittaker because I think he's crying out for 3 miles. A half-brother at Broadway Buffalo, who was second in the 4-miler here a few years ago. And he's been running over 2.5 miles for too long, I think. And he likes it here as well.
Yeah. Festival form always comes to fruition at meetings like this. DJ, where's your money go?
Well, on Give Me a Copper, if people are looking at Give Me a Copper and saying, it's too short of a price, I wish I backed it at a bigger price, there's only one man to blame for that, and that's the man standing to my immediate left. I did a preview with him at Ice on the 5th of February, and his nap at the Cheltenham Festival was Give Me a Copper, who was 20-1 at the time. He said, you've got to have a few quid on this. Did I? Hell, I didn't, of course. And now look at the price he is. So he's the founding member of this gamble on Give Me a Copper. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of Guinness drank if Give Me a Copper wins for Keels. I like Calypto for Venetia Williams and Charlie Dutch. It would be a great story for Charlie if he did win at the Cheltenham Festival after what he's been through. But I just think with Calypto, I look back through his form and he's got really good Cheltenham form. Like, he started favourite for the Triumph Hurdle, the Tiger Roll one. Daryl Jacob lost his irons. He was actually quite unlucky that day. He's good form again behind Tiger Roll in the Intermediate Hurdle the following season. And he's ran well in a couple of handicap chases, like the Grand Annual here. He's only beaten a couple of lengths. I thought he's been crying out for a step up to 3 miles. And when he did step up to 3 mile at Ascot, I thought he was very impressive off a mark of 1.43. Now, the ground is a worry. If the ground is riding really soft, stamina is a worry with Calypto, but I think he does stay 3 miles. I think a £5 rise for what he did beating Black Horton at Ascot, I thought that was very fair. Venetia's team are in good form. I think he'll handle the ground. He likes the track, so it would be Calypto for me.
Okay. How many points are you going to get out of DJ this week?
Several, I hope. But I mean, he's supposed to be working all day, isn't he? Whereas I'll be finished before the start of the first race every day, so we'll have to see.
Okay, Tom, any final thoughts on the Ultima?
I just thought, a lot of chat in the office, we thought Manella Rocco ran to a mark of 1.65 in second here in the Gold Cup behind Size and John. Now, there's a lot of middling form and problems between this and then, but at 1.52, he has to be a short price to at least outrun his mark, and there's been a little bit of positivity about
Frank
him.
Frank the Tank Hickey, that's his day one banker.
Yeah.
Wow, so he's sure to be popular. Before we go for a break, our last race we'll look at is the 3.30 Unibet Champion Hurdle Challenge Trophy. Now, nail your colours to the mast, because this is going to be an absolute cracker. DJ, I'll give you the first say.
Okay, well, I don't fancy Bouverdaire for starters. I just think he's benefited from some weak renewals of the Champion Hurdle. Now, I know Ruby has said you can get lucky once, you don't get lucky twice, you earn it twice. But I thought he fell over the line last year, beating Mellon and Mick Jazz being only 3.25 lengths behind. To me, that's not going to be good enough tomorrow. My idea of the winner is Apple's Jade. I think she's just turned inside out this season. 73 lengths to win her starts this season by that total. I don't think any horse in the race, male or female, could do that. I think that the ground has come perfect for her. I look through the race, I don't see anything to take her on up front, so Jack Kennedy will be able to dictate matters from the front. And I don't subscribe to the theory that she loses ground jumping to her right. She veers a little bit to her right, but she jumps straight, and I think she could stray these coming down the hill. I think she'd be 2 or 3 lengths clear turning in, and I don't think they'll get to her. She's my idea of the winner. One that could just, the way the race is likely to be run, one that could sneak into the place at a huge price is my beloved Brain Power, who I have backed on every single occasion that he's ran. He owes me more than a few pints of Guinness, but I just think the race will be run to suit, and he comes here fresh and there's no pressure on him, and I could see him sneaking into a place, but it will be apple shade for me, Maddie.
Yeah, fab. My theory in this race, Tom, is that the momentum's going to build behind the mares as they've got that sort of sexier profile, and Apple Shade, she's now outright favourite, so you could get a decent price on Bouvardaire on the day.
Yeah, she's 15-8 and Bouvardaire is 9-4. The biggest loser in our book for the whole day is actually Lorena, who's 4-1 third favourite. Now, I'd be with DJ in terms of I'd be in the Apple Shade camp. If you wanted to have a fiver at a massive price, I thought Espoir d'Alene was a massive price at 20s. He's only been beaten to once behind Mr. Adjudicator, and he had a massive break after that, so there must have been a problem. He's done nothing but improve with this season, and he could be interesting at 20s.
Okay, excellent. And Keels?
Yeah, I mean, look, Apples Jade is the one I actually want to win because she's been campaigned like a champion all season and looked like one at all trips, which is very rare for any horse. And, you know, I'd love to see it happen. But I have this slight worry that she just doesn't particularly like this place. She has run bigger figures on Racing Post ratings away from Cheltenham every single season. And she may well have been in season last year, but the fact is her three runs at Cheltenham represent the joint 14th and 17th best runs of her life over hurdles out of 20 starts. So that's the worry for me, and for me that just edges it back in the favour of Bouvardaire, who was a sick horse last year. They couldn't take him to Aintree afterwards. They just about got away with it. He'll be a different horse on the day this time, I'm sure.
What do you make of his Christmas hurdle run?
A Christmas hurdle run. I hate playing the blame game, but I just think Barry Geraghty panicked a bit when they made a mistake at the third last, knocked the flight out of the ground, and Global Citizen was going quite hard in front, and he'd got away. And I think he just asked him to go too soon, and he made his run from the second last rather than from the last, and he skipped three lengths clear, and then realised, oh no, I've got another 150 yards to run, and it didn't quite work. So I would say I wouldn't worry about that. I'm sure he won't be going for everything until at the last this time, and it'll be a different story. The one I want to take on is Lorena. I think 4-1 for a horse that hasn't beaten a single horse that would be less than 1,000-1 to win a champion hurdle is crazy. She might be a superstar, but she's almost priced as though she already is, and I just can't have that. So I'll be laying her for a place, and it wouldn't surprise me. Now we're going to get soft ground again. It wouldn't surprise me if Mellon hit the frame again, because he does like it here. He did run well last year. And, you know, you can forget all his good ground form, I think.
OK, brilliant. We'll take a quick break now before we cover the remainder of the Cheltenham card. Stay with us.
Everyone hears a bad tip during Cheltenham, but you can't go wrong with 10 free spins on Ruby Walsh, Champions Gold on Paddy Power Games during day one of the Cheltenham Festival. Open to new and existing customers. Spins expire at midnight on the 13th of March. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Cheltenham postcast then, and we're in front of the final fence, and we're going to preview the remainder of the races on day one. The OLBG Mares Hurdle is our next port of call at 4:10, and Ruby Walsh has been saying everywhere it's been that Benny DeJure is his best chance of the week. Keels, what do you make of this? Do you think she could be vulnerable in any way? Quivega came here time after time and won it on her first start of the season.
Well, I don't think Ruby would give anyone the 16-1 handicap shot of Willie Mullins, would he? So, I mean, it's the obvious one. It's the shortest price. She might be a good thing. But if you allow for the fact that Apples Jade didn't run a race last year, she's only beaten Midnight Tour by half a length. The Midnight Tour will be 25-1 again. So, I just think on the form book, she's favourite, but she's not odds on for me, and I think you've got to have a smash each way on something. And I like Roxana. Roxana won the EBF Mares Hurdle final last year at Newby on soft ground, 2.5 mile. Stepped up to 3 to run second to Santini in a Grade One at Aintree, and then didn't run again until soft ground in the Contenders Hurdle. And she was quite eye catching, obviously behind Bouvardaire. She was beaten a fair way, but I thought she ran a nice race there. That was her first run over 2 mile since she ran in a bumper at Chepstow in April 2017. She wants soft ground. She wants 2.5. And of all the other ones there, I think she'll stay. If it gets really boggy, which it might do given the forecast, I think she will stay better than most of the others. So I would have a little bit each way on her against Benny DeJure, but it wouldn't be a massive punting race for me.
Okay, you have actually read my mind entirely there. That's more or less word for word what I would have said if asked on this race. Tom, where do you see the money going on the day? Momentum's surely going to build behind Benny DeJure, isn't it?
Yeah, she'll be the lock for a lot of ACCA, so if we can get her beat, we'll be absolutely flying it from a bookmaking perspective. She's very, very steady as well at the top of the market, 5-6, and it's 7-1 and bigger the rest, so not much else going on really at the moment.
Okay, DJ, do you concur that, will she be beaten?
No, I think she's, of all the favourites this week at that sort of price, I think she's the most solid because she is the least to beat. I know I can see what Paul is saying about last year's performance, but she still won the race. And she's got a terrific win record. And like, there's people that are saying that the main argument for not fancying her is the fact that she hasn't run this season. But it's different. She hasn't had any setbacks or any injuries. She's just been waiting on soft ground. And she's been in training since, I think, the start of October. So, you know, when you put all that together, you kind of say to yourself, she's trained by a master in Willie Mullins, who is well capable of getting one ready first time out. She schooled last week with Ruby, who was absolutely thrilled with her. The vibes are very strong. I think she'll win. One at a huge price that I think could run well is Momella for Harry Fry and Noel Feely. I just think if you take out her last run when she was pulled up, she was bitterly disappointing at Ascot. Take out that run, and I think she'd be about 10-1, not 33-1. So I think she could run well at a huge price. I thought she was going well in the long distance hurdle before she fell. So yeah, Momella at a huge price to follow. Benny, to do home.
Fabulous. We'll move on to the 450, which is the listed Close Brothers Novices Handicap Chase. DJ, you're quite keen on one here. I asked you for one of your sort of naps of day one and you came with Riders on the Storm.
Yeah, I put it up in the paper a few weeks ago at 12-1. It's been well backed, very well backed. It's probably as short a price as it should be now. I've just fallen in love with this horse from day one. I remember doing the analysis of a maiden hurdle at Navan, and I spoke to Tom Taff afterwards and I says, Tom, you've got a star here, and he agreed. I think it's rated 139 in Ireland. It's only £1 higher here, which I think is very fair. I thought he was valued for much further than the length and a quarter winning margin over Impact Factor last time at Punchdown. Impact Factor's rated 134. It's reasonably solid form. Reached a rating of 132 over hurdles. I thought he would be at least a stone better over fences, if not more. I think he's a graded horse. The way he travelled at Limerick in the Grade 1 over Christmas, like, he travelled every bit as well as Hardline and Get a Bird, two proper Grade 1 horses. I think the step up and trip will suit. He's a really good jumper. Brian Hughes is a good book in here. I think he's the type of jockey that will suit Riders on the Storm. So Riders on the Storm would actually be my strongest fancy on the opening day.
Yeah, and Brian Hughes won this race last year, of course, so you're definitely going well there.
Sitting in the stars.
Tom, one that's been sort of had lots of whispers about, Miss Tower Bridge for Joseph O'Brien. What do you make of him?
Yeah, Joseph O'Brien's race planner, Kevin Blake, was kind of fairly open about maybe a lot of people thought he was kind of a wise guy horse, but he's just kind of underperformed a bit. Obviously, he's a Grade 1 win and say a novice hurdler, but he's been quiet enough. The one they all want to back in Ireland anyway is Riders on the Storm. He's 7-1 joint favourite with At Blue Tard now. And as far as a betting race, it's very, very quiet at the moment. The only money we're seeing at the minute is for Riders on the Storm.
Okay, brilliant. And Kiels, what about the Brits?
Yeah, I think there's a couple with really good chances that might be well handicapped. I know one of them's top weight, Highway 101, but I really like the form of that novice handicap chase at Cheltenham on Trials Day. Kildasart won it. I think Kildasart's a good thing for the JLT later in the week. I'm really excited about my few bets on him. And I'm going to back that form all week, including Spirit of the Games in the plate. And Highway 101 in this, he made the run in, he jumped really well, and he only got beat two lengths. He was given £2 to the winner, who I think is a Grade 1 horse, and I think he'll go well. Obviously, it's not going to be easy, 24-runner race leading all the way, but his jumping will stand him in good stead. The other one I like is Good Man Pat. Now, he didn't jump particularly well in the first half of the race at Kempton last time, and he absolutely belted the last on the first circuit, but at the same time, he warmed up, got into the race, despite edging to his left at several fences. And he only got beat five lengths by Bags Groove. He was rated 153. And even if he was getting a bit of a weight, I was surprised that he didn't get nudged up a little bit by the handicapper. He stayed on the mark at 139. Definitely wants to go left-handed. He's only ever won that way round. And I think he'll run well for Alan King.
Fabulous. Now, to finish off, it is the National Hunt Challenge Cup Amateur Riders Novices Chase Grade 2 at 5:30. Now, Bally Ward is a horse, DJ, that lots of people have latched onto. Understandably, he looked good last time out. Do you think he could be one of the Irish bankers of day one?
He's got a chance. I think it's a two-horse race between Bally Ward and Discorama. But at the prices, given how close they were at the last at Nace, I think you've got to be with Discorama, who a couple of days ago was four times the price of Bally Ward. They've come closer together because Discorama's had a couple of different entries. But he does go here. Barry O'Neill rides him, has schooled him. They all seem to be very happy in the Paul Nolan camp. I just think maybe Discorama is a little more battle-hardened than Bally Ward. Like, he ran a cracker to finish second, staying on under Dylan Robinson in the Martin Pipe last year to blow by blow. That festival form is key. Obviously, Bally Ward ran well in the Albert Bartlett as well. But I just wonder at the prices if Discorama is the value, because I think he will stay. And he strikes me as a horse that's just tailor-made for a race like this. He'd be held up Nothing will be done in a hurry. Barry O'Neill is just a man for that. So at the prices, it would be Discorama. Ballyward's got a cracking chance. I don't fancy the favourite.
Okay, going back to Ballyward, I think the last favourite to win this was Back in Focus in the same colours. Tom, okay, Corral seems to be the one that's drifting. People are keen to take him on.
Yeah, he's been relatively solid with us. It's 3-1 joint favourites now, Ballyward and OK Corral. But I'd be with DJ now. I absolutely love Discorama. He might have cursed it now, but I'm hoping he's right. And Chris's dream and Champagne Classic came out and franked that form. Even though he tipped up, it was a very, very good run, and I'd be very keen on him here. And as DJ mentioned, he's over twice the price of Ballyward. So if you fancy Ballyward, you're nearly better off having a saver on Discorama.
Lovely.
I absolutely love him now. He's my bet of the day at sevens.
Come on, Tom. I'd like to hear that.
You two are looking far too cheerful with that. Keels, I know I mentioned OK Corral was slightly on the drift. You're absolutely dying to take him on, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think JP McManus is obviously desperate to win the four-miler. I think he might, but it won't be with OK Corral. I make him the lay of the meeting. He races too keenly for me. He looked like he wanted to go fast all the way around at Warwick.
They should have gone to the RSA, shouldn't they?
Really, I'd have made him about 6-4 in the JLT, to be honest, because I think he's got a fair bit of pace. He's got a lot of class. But where the four-miler in the bog is for him, because I'm sure he'll be keen, he'll have to be dropped out. It'll take, you know, obviously he's got the best jockey in the race in Derek O'Connor, but at the same time I just can't see him staying. Nicky Henderson's record, with, you know, we all associate him with two milers, don't we? He's going for his eighth champion early, sixth champion chase, never won any sort of national, never won this race, has had one winner from 53 runners since 2006 over 3.5 mile plus, and he's favourite for the 4 mile race at Cheltenham Festival. I mean, you just got to get stuck into laying him, haven't you? But I've come round to his other one, Jerry's Back. Now I think he's a bit of a loon, but I also think he's been outspeeded over 2.5 mile the last couple of times. Castafiore, who's going to run in the JLT, and Vindication before that, who's a stayer too. And I thought he stayed on strongly then. We got no idea about 4 miles. He's not really bred for it, but he did win a point by 10 lengths on soft ground. And I think he's, you know, on pure form work, for pure form wise, he is not far off the best of them if he stays. So I'll give him a chance at a double figure price.
7-0 to Britain after day one.
7-0
Paul
to Britain, yeah, that'll do.
And they say the Irish tipsters are biased. My fun. God, above.
Well. I'm sure the Prestbury Cup will be impacted on day one. Let's get your day one naps then. Keels, will go over to you first.
Oh, Glenn Forster, without a doubt.
Riders on the Storm.
Discorama and Elixir denotes each way double.
Very, very nice. I like what you've done there. Right, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Bruce Millington is going to be back tomorrow with these lovely chaps, so make sure to tune in then. For all the latest on the Cheltenham Festival, go to racingpost.com, and best of luck with your bets tomorrow.
It's Paddy's big Cheltenham offer. We're giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on every single race on day one of Cheltenham. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.